All right, Mr. Penguin says it's working. So I guess Ridley is not in a good area to chat. Welcome to the New Hampshire Independence, New Hampshire Exit weekly meeting. I see, well, we had somebody there. So it looked like they were on a phone line, but they've now dropped off. So I guess we don't get to find out who that was. Trying to reconnect to. Who do we have on the call? I see Dave, Mr. Penguin, Steven, and myself, and then somebody else looks like they're called in on a phone line.
Jordan.
Oh, hey, Jordan. Well, I have a little bit of news. I talked to a gentleman named Matt Sabarin, who is a, I don't know if he's a native or a free stater or what. I didn't get that information from him, but he's the guy who has set up the New Hampshire Independence Political Action Committee. So that's something that we had discussed here on this call a few weeks ago, and it looks like he went ahead and ran with it. Although he's not been on our call, he has work on Sundays, so he is unable to attend any of our weekly meetups, sadly. He does, he indicated that he would like to, but cannot at this time. But I did get an update from him last night on the status of the Political Action Committee. It is newly filed or newly formed, so that is done. The paperwork with the Secretary of State is all set. There is a Twitter account. Let me see if I can find out what that was, because I didn't write it down. He says he requested that we not promote the Political Action Committee publicly at this time, just because there's really nothing that it's doing yet. It doesn't have a website, that kind of thing. But I will see if I can find the username for you guys. I should have written it down.
Can anyone hear me now?
I hear somebody there. So that's basically the news there. There's not a whole lot else that can be said about it at this time, but I'm glad that somebody took the time to file that, because I know I didn't want to do the paperwork, so grateful for somebody that does. Oh, it sounded like that he doesn't have anyone on the, any kind of like board of directors or anything. It's just him at this time. So I told him that he's welcome to reach out if he needs to get in touch with any of the state reps, since we know them pretty well, at least Michael and Matt Santanastasso. And he seemed grateful. It didn't seem that he had that many as far as connections were concerned. So I think we can definitely help him there with that. And that's all. I know that there was some talk from Matt Santanastasso still about the idea of a caucus. So maybe this Political Action Committee can kind of serve as, I don't know, a partial function in that way. Maybe they can recruit the 13 who voted for this thing into the committee, and then they can all work together to identify and to support candidates this election coming up. to get the word out about independence. So that's what I'm hoping for. So that's kind of the update that I have there. I don't know off the top of my head. I can't think of anything else that has transpired, at least in my world, in the last week for independence. Anybody else got any news, any updates? Ridley says in the chat that Russell Canning will be back. Yeah, I understand he's planning on actually moving back. Right, he says in New Hampshire permanently in May, I think. And for those that don't recall the name, Russell is one of the most active New Hampshire exit people. He is formerly somebody who moved here from way back in the day, back right around when Ridley moved here in the early mover days. Moved to Keene, did some civil disobedience that inspired me to move up here, and I'm sure many others. And so it'd be good to have him back, because he left too soon. He's got a lot of energy, very principled, and he's the guy behind the NH Exit Twitter, I believe. So he's been very helpful at promoting. I think he plugs or promotes or hosts the NH Exit podcast. So very, very active individual. It'll be great to have him back around. Is it true that he's retiring from driving? Dave, I don't know where I heard that rumor, but that's one of the reasons he's been gone for so long, as he's been a professional driver driving trucks across the country. Nice. Dave says he's going licenseless. All right. I'd like to see that. That's the kind of activism I expect from Russell Canning. Guy's ballsy as hell. He was always an inspiration to me, because he was always very positive. Always says, not civil disobedience, just bike riding. That's a tough thing to do during the wintertime, but I've done it. As long as you're on the cleared streets, it's not so bad. But always, the thing I loved about Russell, besides his courage and civil disobedience, was he always had a smile on his face. It didn't matter what was happening to him, as far as the government goons arresting him or, you know, whatever it was that they were doing to him. He was always, like, cracking a joke or smiling about just his attitude was always positive. Oh, yeah, Ridley reminds me. Aria DiMezzo submitted the Independence Amendment to the GOP platform committee, which was great. Unfortunately, she did not attend. Or at least I've not heard that she attended. I suspect she didn't. I think Bonnie told me she definitely did not. She did not attend the Republican convention yesterday. So I don't know if that means that they brought up the amendment and subsequently dismissed it because she wasn't even there to speak for her own amendment. I don't know what the rules are of a Republican convention, and I'm not sure. I'm sure there are a bunch of free staters who attended, but I do not know who they are, so I don't know who to reach out to ask about that. Maybe I'll just ask on openly on social media and see if somebody happened to see what transpired. Because unfortunately, we had three people in Keene who ran for office under the GOP ticket in 2020 and made it through the primary, which means they all lost in the general, because it's Keene. You can't win unless you're a Republican or a Democrat, rather. But they made it through the primary, which meant they were qualified to be delegates at this Republican convention happening now, or yesterday. It's over now. So it's only a once every 2 years convention, and it's the time at which that you have the opportunity in theory, to change the Republican Party platform for the state of New Hampshire. And the Free Staters have been attending this thing for years and have slowly been gathering more and more support, and of course they've been getting more state reps, and so the influence of the Free Staters has been increasing over time. And it would have been nice if some folks from Keene were able to go out and kind of stir things up a little bit with some pro-independence stuff, but unfortunately Arya did not attend. Matt Roach had to leave town because his mom is ill in New York, so he's with her this weekend. And then Bob was the other person from Keene, and he did not go either. So unfortunately, our plans to attend this thing completely failed. And so I don't know if anyone was there to back the Independence Amendment or how the floor discussion went about that. So if anybody knows anyone who attended that, it'd be great to get a report, because I don't have it. Okay, I found the Twitter account. I will put it in the chat for those of you that would like to go and give it a follow. It is up to two followers, one of which is me. The other is Russell at NHXit. So I'm going to pop that in here for you guys. New Hampshire Independence PAC at Real NH. IPAC. It appears they also have a Gab account as well, which is NHIPAC on Gab. Again, very, very early. No content at this point. There is an email address, NHIPAC@protonmail.com. So if you want to reach out to Matt Sabarin, he's the man behind it. Correct, Dave. It is NHIPAC, as in New Hampshire Independence PAC. NHIPAC@protonmail.com. His name is Matt Sabourin, S-A-B-O-U-R-I-N. And I'm sure he would appreciate any kind of assistance that anybody can bring to the table to get the ball off, get the ball rolling on this thing, because it's a big project. I know that the Reopen New Hampshire people successfully did it last year. They, or not last year, I guess 2020, they endorsed all the candidates, or you know, assessed all the candidates and endorsed some of them, which is probably the ideal circumstance for this political action committee, is to send out some sort of a questionnaire. And get the candidates to respond to said questionnaire, and then pick the ones that are the independence-friendly ones and get the word out about them. And also, of course, encourage people to run against the worst of the worst, like Brody DeShays. So that's a big, big task. A lot of envelope stuffing and data crunching and very time-consuming. So grateful to him for stepping up. Okay, reading the chat here. Ridley says, just finding out candidate positions on independents would be super useful, and it's doable, I bet. Yeah, I think it would be. It just takes somebody who's got the organizational time and ability to, you know, pull up a... Because you got to figure out not only who is currently, well, not who's in office, but who's going to run again and who is who's running against them. So, I mean, it's a big, it all has to be done before the primary, ideally, because if there's a primary opponent who is or is not in favor against against independents, we need to know about it. So there's definitely, you know, not a whole lot of time. I think the primary takes place in October or September. It's been a while from, I think it's a, early October, maybe, because it's usually only like a few weeks between the primary and the general election. So candidate filing period is in June. So, you know, got to get all that detail. So if there's 400 state reps, you know, presuming, I mean, not every state rep has an opponent. Sometimes they just file and they walk right into office. So I guess we wouldn't. Well, I probably would think we'd still want to hit those people up, too, just to get them on the record, you know, just to find out what their opinion is. And, you know, some of them won't respond, others will, but, you know, it's probably at least 6 or 7 or 8, somewhere upwards of 800 candidates, maybe more. I mean, you got some races where there's primary opponents, so there may be more than two people. Well, that's a lot of mailing, a lot of tabulating, and so on. Ridley points out that just getting the question will have some effect on rep candidates. Yeah, that's true. If it's coming from what looks like a professional organization, it will definitely get some people's attention in a way that maybe they'll didn't do. Maybe they'll feel like there's a movement here. And I know the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, they had enough funding once upon a time. I think they still do it. I don't know. They used to send $100 checks out to people. So they would send a questionnaire out, which I was always really pleased with how principled it was. But they would send a questionnaire out to, you know, take a rep's temperature on various different liberty issues. And then if you got their endorsement, you'd also get a check. So that was kind of cool. I don't know how well-funded this particular group will be, but I'm definitely definitely interested in donating some money if it seems like they got their shit together. So I certainly appreciate somebody doing that that work. The filing of the most annoying part's got to be the filing of all the stupid reports with the state secretary of state. I mean, there's not a ton of reports, I guess, from what I looked at, but you know, there's the ones that have the specific deadline, and then there's others. Like, if you get a donation of over $500, they want to know about it within 48 hours. So you've always got to, you know, if you're popular enough, you're constantly sending data to the Secretary of State. What a pain. I think you also have to send a report if you spend more than $500. Within 48 hours, you have to send a report. So what a burden. And I guess just for listeners that don't know the difference, so we already have the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, and they've been around for, I believe, a decade now. I think they were around at least in 2012, and they do educational work. So they're what's called a 501c3 with the federal government registered as an educational organization. So they are not allowed under the stupid rules of the federal government to talk about candidates. They, from what I understand, also cannot even take a position on an issue like a political issue. So CACR 32, I don't think they were allowed to officially endorse that. So they're only allowed to talk about the issue of independence to just sort of generally. And so that's what they can do. They cannot endorse candidates. They cannot promote candidates. They can't advertise against candidates. But that is what a political action committee can do. Political action committee can endorse candidates. It can attack other candidates. It can, you know, take positions on issues and so on and so forth. So that's the key difference between the now two organizations that we have in New Hampshire.
Ridley says he got on the air with a Rush Limbaugh substitute, Mark Davis, out of Dallas. Great show, he says. He condemned New Hampshire independence. Also, Dave got on the air 3 times at WBZ in Boston. A Delaware station is friendly, and I've been calling them. But Dave's always on the ball with reaching out to talk radio, and certainly the more people can call talk radio, write letters to him, the better off we will be. Ridley says WKBK King. He makes calls to them, though mostly about non-independent stuff. Yeah, I hope we'll get an update from maybe Alu at some point, or maybe Stephen has heard something about this mystery donor who's got $50,000 that he wants to give to the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. I'm wondering how that's coming along. I know they needed to have some sort of a board meeting to decide what questions they want to ask in the survey, so I don't know if that meeting has happened yet. I don't know if anyone's heard anything.
Just to chime in for a second, everybody hears me? Can you hear me?
Stephen, I hear you fine.
Okay. Not to say too much, but I'm trying to get FNHI to get into full compliance with their bylaws. And that's an interesting activity.
I guess maybe you can't say this, but in what way are they, maybe you can't answer that, but why are they not complying with their bylaws? What do they need to do?
I mean, I think what happens is, I've been in other fora where this happens. People start an organization, they write or take bylaws off the internet, and then nobody really follows, like, who is a member? How did you get elected to the board? How often are you elected to the board? And I just believe that when money starts getting involved, it's good to follow your rules. I can be a pain in the neck that way somehow, but I just think it's a good idea. If you form an organization, make the rules you're going to follow, follow the rules you're going to make. You know, meeting minutes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that is definitely a thing libertarians, I imagine, are anathema to following bylaws. They are annoying and frustrating, so that's probably what happened there. But yeah, you're right. If somebody's come around with 50 grand, they may maybe concerned with those sorts of things.
Yes, I mean, that's it's kind of a thing for me because of a different place in which I had this issue. And, you know, we start loose organizations a lot, but at a certain point, if somebody could attack you, if you start becoming successful, I know that, like, you know, other organizations, independence organizations, without giving any names, some are obvious, have been attacked many different ways because they're effective. And if you don't have everything lined up, you're just putting yourself up, you know, making yourself vulnerable. So that's something I'm trying to work on. And, you know, how do you elect board members if you don't have members? And how do you become members if there's no rule to how to become a member? So some of these organizations to me become like a circular catch 22. Like, are we members of this group? No, right?
Well, I don't know you probably know more than I do about the foundation. It's certainly possible that you don't have members of an organization and just the board members are the only members, and then they just sort of elect themselves. I don't know if that's how they're set up, but there's nothing wrong with that. And you definitely don't, if you want to make sure that you keep out the bad guys, then you don't want to have public memberships, because then anybody can come around and try to do a hostile takeover.
Right. So their constitution, which I assume is public, like any other nonprofit constitution, says anybody can be a member if they want to help the cause. But there's no process to become a member. So if you don't want members, then just say nobody's a member. Also, when you vote yourself on a board, you still have to vote yourself on the board at whatever regularity that the Constitution says you have to.
Are you on that board, Stephen?
Or
are
you just part of what became interesting is how do you get on the board if nobody's really on the board? Like, you know, if the four of us on this call say we all vote ourselves to be on a board,
mm-hmm.
right? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So then we say we want to vote a fifth person. We want to vote Alu onto our board. Well, that's great. But if we're not on our board, we can't vote Alu on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not clear. And I went through this with another organization. It's not clear proxy voting. It's not clear remote voting. Even remote meetings. I know in COVID times, people say the rules have changed. I have no idea if that's true legally or not. It's kind of like when your legislature refused to meet in its house.
So I take it you're kind of in as a consultant on this and helping Alu?
I'm trying.
Okay.
I find it, and again, not just that organization. A lot of organizations, some people take documents much more seriously than others, maybe because I was raised by a contract judge. Mm. But again, I don't want to ever be vulnerable to attack.
Hopefully that the New Hampshire Independents could become, more agile under Alu's leadership, because they just haven't done a whole lot in the last decade. They just kind of stagnated, and so they definitely need some fresh blood in there, and maybe with your help, they can kind of reboot this thing.
We all know that Alu being functional has never been a problem.
Right.
So I think good things are going to happen. Just the fact that check came in is, to me, unbelievable. Yeah. So I think things will happen. But like you say, libertarians are like herding cats anyway. And so we'll see. But Alu never needs to be pushed.
Right. It's just he might be held back by the rest of the board, which...
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And I, again, I'm an old man and I like to make sure things are done wisely and I wouldn't say legally versus illegally, but just in the straightest way possible. So I think it's going to happen. And then obviously people are legitimately busy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see what happens. By the way, I guess we should just wish Alu happy birthday for yesterday, so get that on the record.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Happy birthday to Alu.
Now it's official.
Looks like we got written in the chat. He says, I think even over the last 10 years, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence did at least get a decent amount of publicity just by being there. And Carla getting condemned by authoritarians over her GOP Senate run while part of Foundation of New Hampshire Independence. And then he says, happy birthday to Alu Eckelman. Yeah, we did a lot of outreach for the foundation over the years. And Alu and I were probably the two most active, going to different events and relentlessly handing out flyers to people. So... And the reason that we did that was because we didn't ask anyone's permission. We just got the flyer. I printed the flyers, gave a huge chunk of them to Alu, and we just went out there and did what we needed to do. We didn't need to ask the board for to meet first and talk about it, which is the big
one. It only changes when you spend money.
Yeah.
And then, the whole issue with the PAC, because Alu was instrumental in that. is what is FNHI allowed to do and what are they not allowed to do and how does it get determined? And those rules are kind of weird as it is. Like, it can't be your primary function to do certain things. I have no idea what primary function it means. And, you know, how much need lawyers involved to do anything? I don't even know that.
Right.
Because they can do certain things that they thought they couldn't, but it can't be their primary activity or something.
Well, gentlemen, are we missing any other data for this week, or should we call it a quickie at a half an hour?
Well, I'm good to adjourn if everybody else is.
All right. I'm going to call it a day and get off to some other activities, and I wish you guys the best. Have a great weekend.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Yeah.